It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
I'm so excited because the first book by Darkness Prevails and Carmen Carrion is available for pre-order right now. It's the Freaky Folklore Compendium, filled with the history and lore of the most terrifying folklore monsters across the globe, alongside some cool but creepy illustrations. Releases July 16th. Pre-order now at eeriecast.com/freak or on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and your favorite bookstore.
Will you walk into my parlor? Said the spider to the fly. 'Tis the prettiest little parlor that ever you did spy. The way into my parlor is up a winding stair, and I have many pretty things to show when you are there. Oh, no, no, said the little fly. To ask me is in vain, for who goes up your winding stair can never come down again. I'm sure you must be weary, dear, with soaring up so high. Will you rest upon my little bed? Said the spider to the fly. There are pretty curtains drawn around. The sheets are fine and thin. And if you like to rest a while, I'll snugly tuck you in. Oh, no, no, said the little fly, for I've often heard it said, they never, never awake again who sleep upon your bed. The Spider and the Fly by Mary Howitt. Welcome to Freaky Folklore, the podcast where we discover horrifying legends across the world and tell terrifying tales of monsters both ancient and modern. This week we are discussing the Jorogumo, a sneaky arachnid that craves the flesh of humans. This show is part of the EerieCast Podcast Network. Find more terrifying tales at eeriecast.com, such as Destination Terror. You can listen to a new episode every week as I take you to horrifying destinations, both real and mythical. Be sure to follow us on Spotify or your favorite podcasting service. You can leave an honest review on iTunes, too. The more we get, the more we grow. And hopefully, the more monsters we can explore. You can now find Freaky Folklore videos on YouTube as well. If you would like to submit an encounter or suggestions for future episodes, you can email them to carmencarrion@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter or Instagram for information on future episodes. The lights flickered in the dimly lit embalming room as Yuko's hands moved methodically and with delicate precision. He prepared the elderly woman's body for viewing with the utmost care and respect, a trade that he had learned from his own father, as it had been passed down for generations in his family. He had spent so much of his time in the cold environment that he no longer noticed the potent aroma permeating the room. A blend of chemicals mingled with disinfectant. As he immersed himself in his task, Yuko's thoughts drifted back to the blind date he had endured the previous evening. It had ended poorly, as usual. Like all the others, the moment his date discovered his profession. The concept of preparing bodies, of tending to the deceased, proved too unsettling for the women he had encountered so far. The pressure to find a suitable partner weighed heavily on Yuko, fueled not only by his own desire for companionship, but also by his mother's persistent urging. She, with determined matchmaking efforts, had orchestrated most of his failed encounters, complaining of his failure to marry and produce grandchildren with each passing day. Yet beyond his mother's expectations and norms set by society, Yuko grappled with a deeper loneliness, a longing for a connection that caused a deep yearning during the solitary hours spent with the dead. His heart yearned for laughter and shared stories, for moments of warmth and a closeness that eluded him in the quiet solitude of his existence. As Yuko worked diligently, a woman's pale, waxy face lay before him, her peaceful expression seeming to mock him with a sardonic smile. It felt as though she could discern his innermost thoughts, silently judging him as a pitiable, lost soul, trapped in a cycle of despair. With a heavy heart, Yuko drew in a deep breath, his hand trembling slightly as he gently covered the woman's face with a sheet, obscuring the unsettling smile that seemed to taunt him. He had always been his own harshest critic, and the silent yet imagined scrutiny of the dead woman only served to deepen his sense of despair. Yet, in this moment, he resolved to shield himself from the judgment of the dead, knowing that he carried enough burdens of self-doubt and loneliness without adding the corpse's imagined condemnation to his already heavy load. Yuko stepped out into the cool evening air, seeking solace in the comforting ritual of smoking a cigarette. It was a habit he had managed to cut back to once or twice a day, a small concession to his health amidst the pressures and stresses of his daily life. It was a guilty pleasure that he hid gleefully from his nagging mother. As he took a drag, the tendrils of smoke swirling around him offered a fleeting sense of escape from the weight of his thoughts and the somber reality of the funeral home. As Yuko stood there, exhaling his first breath of smoke, his gaze wandered to a corner of the courtyard, where he noticed a Joro spider delicately weaving its intricate web. Mesmerized by the arachnid's graceful movements, he found himself captivated by the elegant dance of silk strands spinning effortlessly into place. In that moment, amidst the quiet solitude of the night, Yuko felt a strange sense of kinship with the spider as he moved in for a closer look. Both of them engaged in their solitary tasks, weaving threads that bound them to their respective worlds. Yuko froze, startled by an unexpected hiss emanating from the spider. His heart quickened as he watched in disbelief, as the arachnid raised its legs and seemed to stare directly at him. He had never known spiders to make sounds, and the sight filled him with a creeping sense of unease. The hairs on the back of his neck stood on end, and goosebumps prickled his skin, as he couldn't shake the feeling that there was something unsettlingly unnatural about the eight-legged creature. The tinkling chime of the front door interrupted Yuko's unsettling encounter with the spider, pulling his attention away from the strange creature. Stepping back inside the funeral home, he was met with a breathtaking sight. A woman of stunning beauty was standing before him. Time seemed to stand still as Yuko found himself captivated by her glowing face and delicate features, a stark contrast to the grim surroundings of the funeral home. "Good evening," Yuko greeted, his voice soft with surprise. "How may I assist you?" "Hello, I am Ayame Tanaka." The woman's eyes held a depth of sadness as she spoke and reached out a hand in greeting. "I'm recently widowed, she began, her voice trembling slightly. I need to make arrangements for my husband's funeral. A wave of empathy washed over Yuko as he took her hand in a brief greeting and listened to her words. Of course, he replied gently. Please, come with me. I'll take care of everything. Following Yuko's reassurance, he guided the grieving Ayame to a quiet consultation room, offering her a seat and a comforting cup of tea. Thank you, the woman murmured gratefully, accepting the beverage with trembling hands. With a well-practiced, compassionate demeanor, Yuko listened attentively as she shared a few memories of her beloved husband. Her voice wavered with emotion as she recounted the short time they had shared. Yuko was shocked to hear that they had been married less than a year. He was my rock, she confessed, her eyes glistening with unshed tears. Her voice was barely more than a whisper, her movements smooth as she took a seat in the parlor and straightened her skirt with long, perfectly manicured fingers. Yuko offered a sympathetic nod, understanding the depth of her loss. He sounds like he was truly special, he replied softly. He couldn't help but notice her fingers again as she dabbed the tissue at her eyes. As they discussed the details of the funeral arrangements, Yuko provided gentle guidance and support. We'll ensure that every aspect of the service honors the memory of your husband with dignity and respect, he assured her. As the conversation deepened, Yuko gently broached the subject of the widow's husband's passing. If you don't mind me asking, he began cautiously, how did your husband pass away? The woman's expression hardened for a brief moment, and then, just as quickly, softened, her eyes clouding with sadness as she recounted the tragic events. It was a spider bite, she revealed quietly, her voice tinged with sorrow. Yuko's breath caught in his throat, a shiver coursing through his body, despite his efforts to suppress it. Images of the encounter with the spider in the courtyard flashed through his mind, the memory now tinged with a newfound sense of unease. I'm so sorry, he murmured. That must have been incredibly difficult for you. Ayame nodded, her gaze distant as she recalled the painful memories. It was, she admitted, her voice trembling slightly. But I'm grateful for the time we had together. Yuko watched her graceful movements as she pushed a dark strand of silky hair from her eyes. The laced sleeve of her black dress swept across her body, like the curtain of a spider's delicate web. After finishing up the preparations, Yuko escorted her to the door. The woman turned and smiled as she thanked him. He was almost ashamed of himself when his heart skipped a beat. As they reached the threshold, she turned and placed her small hand with her long fingers on his chest, her touch sending a jolt of warmth through him. Thank you, she said softly, her eyes meeting his with something more than gratitude. It was a look that stirred something within him. Yuko swallowed hard, feeling a surge of emotion rise within him at her touch. His heart skipped a beat again in response to her gesture, the unexpected flutter of his pulse catching him off guard. It was my pleasure, he replied, his voice husky with emotion. I'm just glad I could help during this difficult time. The woman offered him another gentle smile, her appreciation evident in the warmth of her gaze. Later that afternoon, Yuko drove his van to the morgue to pick up the body of Ayame's deceased husband. The morgue was a solemn place, its sterile halls lined with rows of stainless steel tables. As Yuko approached, he was met by the sight of the body, zipped tightly in a black bag and resting on a gurney. The only indication of the deceased's identity was a white tag attached to the bag, bearing his name in stark black letters. With a heavy heart, Yuko carefully loaded the body into his van, ensuring that it was secured for the journey to the funeral home. Back at the funeral home, Yuko unzipped the body bag and was met with the gruesome sight of Ayame's deceased husband. The body lay before him, its once human form distorted and mangled. A deep gouge and puncture wound marred the flesh on the shoulder. The skin was stretched and taut, as if pulled tight by unseen threads. The face was frozen in a state of permanent terror and pain. Yuko wondered what kind of spider could cause this type of destruction to the human body. He tried to shrug it off. He was a mortician, not a medical examiner. His job was to prepare the body for its last rites, not to investigate the cause of death or question those who had done so. Despite the appearance of the corpse, in the days following their first meeting, Yuko found himself unable to shake the memory of his first encounter with Ayame. Thoughts of her lingered in his mind, her eyes, her lips, and the sway of her hips tortured him with their lingering presence in his mind. Despite his best efforts to focus on his work, his thoughts kept drifting back to her. He couldn't help but feel anticipation for their next meeting, even though it would be at her husband's funeral. Throughout the funeral proceedings, Yuko and Ayame crossed paths multiple times, their exchanges marked by shared glances and fleeting moments of connection. In the somber atmosphere of grief, Yuko told himself that their encounters offered her brief respite from the weight of sorrow, each interaction leaving Yuko yearning for more. As the final rites were performed and the mourners began to disperse, Yuko found himself lingering near the entrance, reluctant to let go of the connection he felt so strongly with Ayame. It was then that she approached him, a tentative smile playing on her lips. "Would you like to have coffee with me?" she asked softly, her gaze searching his face for a sign of acceptance. "As a thank you for all you've done for me and my late husband." Yuko felt a surge of anticipation course through him at her invitation, his heart racing with excitement and uncertainty. Despite the lingering doubts and fears that clouded his mind, he found himself unable to resist the pull of her presence, the promise of drawing closer to her beckoning him forward. With a nod of agreement, Yuko locked up the funeral home and followed Ayame out into the streets, his senses tingling with a mixture of excitement and apprehension. As they walked side by side, he couldn't shake the unsettling feeling that began to gnaw at the edges of his consciousness, but the electric feeling that shot through his nerves when her arm brushed his smothered all of his doubts. Deep down, a voice whispered warnings of danger, cautioning him against the allure of Ayame's charms. Despite the undeniable attraction between them, Yuko couldn't ignore the nagging suspicion that something was amiss. After all, she had just buried her husband under tragic circumstances, and the weight of grief still hung heavy in the air around her. Nevertheless, he pushed aside his doubts, allowing himself to be drawn in by Ayame's mesmerizing presence and the promise of companionship. With each step forward, he reminded himself to stay vigilant, to heed the subtle signs that hinted at the truth lurking beneath her facade of sorrow. As they arrived at the quaint cafe where they would share their first cup of coffee together, Yuko's pulse quickened with excitement. Ayame led him to a table in the darkest corner of the room. "I can't thank you enough for helping me through this hard time," Ayame began. "My children are still too young to be of help to me. And now with their father gone, I'm not sure what I will do to ensure that they have a good role model." "I didn't realize you had children," Yuko replied, trying to hide the shock in his voice. "I didn't see them at the funeral." "No, they're too young and impressionable, and they tend to be mischievous, getting into things they shouldn't," she explained with a hint of a smile, as if she held a well-kept secret. "Will you excuse me for a moment?" she asked. "Of course," Yuko answered as he stood with a nod. He was watching her walk away, so graceful in her movements. Her steps, so quiet, she seemed to drift across the room. Out of the corner of his eye, he caught the sight of a tiny brown spider descending from the ceiling, its delicate form dangling precariously on a slender thread of silk. Jumping instinctively, Yuko reached out to swipe it away, not wanting Ayame to be startled by the tiny creature. But before the back of his hand could reach it, he heard a gasp. Ayame had returned unexpectedly. In a surprising turn of events, Ayame reached out and placed her hand beneath the spider, allowing it to settle into the palm of her pale hand. Yuko watched in astonishment as she cradled the tiny arachnid with a tenderness that belied its menacing appearance. "Why would you be so callous with such an innocent little thing?" she asked, her tone gentle but reproachful. "He is only going about his own business, just like us." Ayame gently laid her hand next to the window sill and waited patiently for the spider to crawl out of her hand. Yuko shivered, not wanting to admit his distaste for spiders. "I would like to have you for a meal at my home," Ayame offered, her gaze soft yet insistent. The spider on the windowsill seemed forgotten as she extended the invitation, her eyes holding a hint of mystery that both intrigued and unsettled Yuko.
This episode is sponsored by June's Journey. What is horror to you? Monsters? Murder? Mystery? Well, if human monsters are your thing, June's Journey is the game for you, albeit in a more lighthearted tone. June's Journey is a hidden object game with a thrilling murder mystery set in the roaring 20s. You play as June on the hunt for your sister's murderer. Discover clues through exciting hidden object scenes with beautiful and atmospheric illustrations and music. Victory brings you closer to new plot points and suspenseful answers. When not hunting for clues, you can customize your own luxurious estate island with gardens, buildings, and decor. Or chat and play with or against other players too, in the Detective Club, where you could even put your skills to the test in the Detective League. June's Journey is both relaxing and fun to play. With my busy schedule, I find it's the perfect game to pick up and play whenever I've got a free moment. It doesn't demand too much time, and it's pretty satisfying solving puzzles quickly and unlocking new clues. Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Her captivating eyes and beguiling smile may lure you in, but be cautious. She is the Joragumo, a creature of Japanese legend, synonymous with death for the men she encounters. Join me as we discover the story of the Joragumo. Known as a yokai, whose beauty hides a darker reality. The Joragumo, also known as the Binding Bride, is a mythical creature from Japanese folklore. It is often depicted as a spider that can transform into a beautiful woman to lure unsuspecting men. Legend has it that she resides in abandoned places, such as old houses or caves, where she ensnares her victims with her beauty before revealing her true form and devouring them. The Joragumo is considered a type of yokai, a supernatural being or monster in Japanese mythology. The Joragumo is depicted as a supernatural creature, blending the forms of a spider and a woman. Her appearance varies depending on the story or depiction, but there are several common features and characteristics associated with her. One of the defining traits of the Joragumo is her ability to seamlessly switch between two forms, that of a beautiful woman and that of a giant spider. This duality allows her to deceive and ensnare her victims. When in her spider form, the Joragumo typically retains arachnid features, such as multiple eyes, hairy legs, and spinnerets. She may also possess venomous fangs and a large, menacing body. In her human disguise, the Joragumo appears as an exceptionally attractive woman, often described as captivatingly beautiful, with long, flowing hair and entrancing eyes. This appearance serves to lure unsuspecting men into her grasp. Despite her alluring appearance, the Joragumo's true intentions are malevolent. She uses her beauty and seductive charm to manipulate and deceive those who encounter her. She spins intricate webs to trap prey, both as a spider and metaphorically through her beauty. Men who fall victim to the Joragumo often meet a gruesome fate. Once ensnared by her charms or webs, they may be devoured by the spider or subjected to other forms of harm. The Joragumo may seek to perpetuate its species by mating with human males, using them as vessels to bear its offspring. In some versions of the legend, the Joragumo displays maternal instincts towards her offspring, protecting them fiercely. This adds complexity to her character, blurring the lines between monstrous and maternal qualities. The Joragumo possesses several abilities that make her a formidable and mysterious creature in Japanese folklore. While specific abilities may vary depending on different interpretations of the legend, common traits associated with the Joragumo include shapeshifting. One of the most notable abilities of the Joragumo is her capability to transform between two forms, that of a beautiful woman and that of a giant spider. This shape-shifting ability allows her to deceive and ensnare her victims by appearing harmless or attractive before revealing her true nature. Seductive charms. In her human guise, the Joragumo exudes an irresistible allure, captivating the hearts and minds of those who encounter her. Her beauty and seductive charms are often used to entice unsuspecting individuals, luring them into her web of deceit. Venomous bite. As a spider, the Joragumo is sometimes depicted as possessing venomous fangs, capable of delivering a deadly bite. This venom may incapacitate or kill her prey, further emphasizing the danger posed by encountering her. Web spinning. Like all spiders, the Joragumo is believed to possess the ability to spin intricate webs, These webs serve both practical and symbolic purposes, acting as traps to capture prey, and as symbols of entrapment or deception in the broader narrative of the legend. Illusions and deception. Beyond her physical abilities, the Jorogumo is often associated with illusions and trickery. She may manipulate her surroundings or create illusions to further deceive and confuse her victims, enhancing her ability to ensnare them. Longevity and supernatural powers. As a yokai, the Jorogumo is often depicted as possessing supernatural longevity and powers beyond those of mortal beings. These powers may include heightened strength, agility, and resilience, making her a formidable adversary to those who dare to challenge her. Overall, the abilities of the Jorogumo reflect her status as a mythical creature, embodying themes of deception, danger, and the blurred boundaries between beauty and horror. Across various interpretations of the legend, her abilities serve to reinforce her role as a symbol of caution and warning in Japanese folklore. The history of the Jorogumo spans centuries and is deeply rooted in Japanese folklore and mythology. While specific details and interpretations may vary across different regions and time periods, the essence of the Jorogumo remains consistent as a creature of deception and danger. The Jorogumo's origins can be traced back to ancient Japanese folklore, where tales of supernatural beings known as yokai proliferated. Yokai encompass a wide range of mythical creatures, spirits, and monsters, and the Jorogumo is one of the most iconic among them. The Jorogumo has been featured in various literary works throughout Japanese history. One notable example is The Tales of Moonlight and Rain, a collection of supernatural stories written by Ueda Akinori in the 18th century. In one of the tales titled The Spider's Thread, a man encounters a beautiful woman who turns out to be a Jorogumo. The Jorogumo has also been a popular subject in Japanese art, including woodblock prints, paintings, and other visual mediums. These depictions often emphasize the duality of the creature's nature, showcasing her allure as a woman and her terrifying form as a spider. Different regions of Japan have their own interpretations of the Jorogumo legend, leading to variations in her appearance, behavior, and backstory. For example, in some versions of the tale, she is portrayed as a vengeful spirit seeking retribution for past injustices, while in others, she is depicted as a more malevolent entity, preying on unsuspecting travelers. The Jorogumo story holds cultural significance beyond mere entertainment. It serves as a cautionary tale, warning against the dangers of deception and the allure of beauty. The Jorogumo embodies themes of temptation, betrayal, and the consequences of succumbing to temptation. Despite its ancient origins, the Jorogumo continues to captivate and inspire artists, writers, and filmmakers in modern times. Its timeless appeal has led to adaptations in various forms of media, including literature, cinema, anime, and video games, ensuring its legacy endures for future generations. The Jorogumo reflects the rich tapestry of Japanese folklore, where myths and legends serve as windows into the cultural beliefs, fears, and values of the past. As one of the most iconic figures in Japanese mythology, the Jorogumo remains an enduring symbol of the supernatural and the mysterious. While the Jorogumo is a prominent figure in Japanese folklore, there aren't an overwhelming number of tales specifically dedicated to her, compared to some other legendary creatures. However, she does feature in various stories. The Spider's Thread. In this infamous tale from the collection Tales of Moonlight and Rain, a Buddhist monk named Kandata dies and is sent to hell due to his wicked deeds in life. However, because of one small act of kindness, he is granted a chance at redemption. As Kandata suffers in hell, The Buddha extends a spider's thread down to him. He can climb out of the depths of hell if he grasps the thread, but it's so thin that it seems impossible. While Kandata hesitates, a fellow damned soul also reaches for the thread. Suddenly, a Joro Gumo appears and pretends to offer to help the man, but she actually intends to devour him. Kandata, moved by compassion, urges the man to climb the thread instead. The Joro Gumo is enraged by Kandata's interference and tries to cut the thread, but it's too late. The man escapes. Kandata's selfless act earns him the chance to be reincarnated, showing the power of compassion even in the face of despair. In the traditional tale, The Bound Bride, a young and handsome man encounters a beautiful woman while traveling through the countryside. Entranced by her beauty, he agrees to marry her. However, as time passes, strange occurrences begin to happen in their home. The man's belongings disappear, and he starts to suspect his wife is hiding something. One day, while she is out, he discovers her true identity. She is a Joro Gumo, a spider demon who takes the form of a woman to seduce and prey on men. Horrified, he attempts to flee, but the Joro Gumo reveals her true form and ensnares him in her webs. With his life in peril, the man manages to escape by tricking the Joro Gumo into believing he'll return, only to flee far away. This tale showcases the Joro Gumo's ability to deceive and manipulate humans, as well as the consequences of falling victim to her charms. It also highlights a theme of deception, compassion, and the supernatural in Japanese folklore. Tonight, as the moon casts an eerie glow over the silent landscape, the legend of the Joro Gumo lingers like a whispered warning in the night. Beware the seductive lure of beauty, for behind that enchanting smile may lurk the chilling embrace of the spider's web. In the dark recesses of forgotten places, she waits patiently, her eyes gleaming with hunger and deceit. So heed the tales of old, and tread carefully, lest you fall prey to the chilling embrace of the Joro Gumo, forever ensnared in her web of darkness.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Yuko was nervous as he drove down the narrow, winding street leading to Oyame's home. The streetlights cast shadows that seemed to dance eerily in the darkness, adding to his sense of unease. The neighborhood was quiet, almost too quiet, with only the occasional rustle of leaves to break the silence. As he approached Oyame's house, Yuko couldn't help but feel a shiver of apprehension course through his body. The house loomed before him, its imposing silhouette standing out against the night sky. The windows were dark, giving the impression of a sleeping beast waiting to be awakened. Parking his car, Yuko hesitated for a moment before stepping out into the cool night air. As he exited the car, the sound of his footsteps echoed loudly in the stillness of the night. With a deep breath, he made his way to the front door, his heart pounding in his chest as he prepared to face whatever lay beyond. Yuko's feelings for Oyame tempered his apprehension to a degree, causing him to believe his nerves were on edge because of his attraction to her, not because of something dark looming in the back of his consciousness. As Yuko pressed the doorbell, he took a deep breath, stilling himself for whatever lay ahead. The sound echoed through the stillness of the night, a solitary chime that seemed to hang in the air, like a lingering question mark. Moments passed, each one stretching into an eternity, as Yuko waited for a response. Finally, the door creaked open, revealing Ayame standing on the threshold, her presence a welcome sight amidst the uncertainty of the night. Her beauty was even more stunning and mesmerizing than the first day he had met her. Ayame's black dress was a study in elegance and understated sophistication. Its fabric, a rich satin, flowed gracefully around her slender frame, clinging in all the right places and accentuating her curves with effortless allure. The neckline was modest yet flattering, framing her delicate collarbones and hinting at the subtle curves beneath. The dress fell in soft, gentle folds to the floor, pooling around her feet in a cascade of darkness. With a gentle smile, she beckoned Yuko inside, her eyes shining with warmth and invitation. As he stepped across the threshold, Yuko felt a surge of relief wash over him, grateful for Ayame's reassuring presence in the darkness. As Ayame welcomed Yuko into her home, he found himself stepping into a world of opulence and mystery. The foyer was adorned with expensive furnishings and intricate decorations, hinting at a life of luxury beyond his imagination. Soft ambient light bathed the space in a warm glow, leaving the corners shadowed. Despite the obvious poshness of the surroundings, Yuko's eyes were drawn to something strange and out of place. Spider webs. They clung to the corners of the room, weaving intricate patterns that glistened in the soft light. The webs seemed to be everywhere, stretching across the door frames and draping gracefully from the furniture, their delicate strands catching the ambient light in mesmerizing ways. As Ayame leads Yuko further into the house, he can't help but feel a sense of unease creeping over him. The juxtaposition of luxury and decay is jarring, casting a pall over the otherwise elegant surroundings. Yet, despite the presence of the spider webs, Ayame moves through the space with an air of effortless grace, as if the webs were nothing more than mere decorations adorning her home. "What do you think of my home, Yuko?" she asked as she led him into the dining room. "I was anxious for you to see it, and I can't wait for you to meet my children." "How many children do you have, Ayame?" he asked nervously. "I mean, I'm just curious because you speak as if it's many of them. Not that it matters." "You will see. They will be down for dinner shortly," Ayame assured Yuko with a serene smile, her voice carrying a hint of anticipation that sent a shiver down his spine. He had noticed as he followed her through the house that the atmosphere grew increasingly eerie. The spider webs had seemed to multiply, their intricate patterns weaving a tapestry of shadows that danced across the walls. Despite his growing unease, Yuko tries to maintain his composure, reminding himself that he is there by choice, drawn in by his feelings for Ayame. In the dining room, he notices that the atmosphere is even more eerie. The spider webs seem to multiply, their intricate patterns weaving a tapestry of shadows that danced across the walls. Despite his growing unease, Yuko tries to maintain his composure, reminding himself that he is there by choice, drawn in by his feelings for Ayame. The table is set with fine china and sparkling crystal, but there is something missing. Food. There is no aroma of meat or bread cooking, but instead, the faint scent of death and decay. Yuko attributes the smell to his imagination, fueled by his anticipation. Despite his apprehension, Yuko tries to maintain a facade of calm, engaging in polite conversation with Ayame. But beneath the surface, a sense of dread hangs heavy in the air, as Yuko's mental alarms are going off, warning him that he may be in far more danger than he ever imagined. His heart skips a beat as he hears the faint sound of pitter-pattering feet coming from upstairs. His instincts scream at him to flee, but he forces himself to stay seated. Ayame, noticing Yuko's unease, offers a reassuring smile. "Don't worry," she says calmly. "It's just my children. They're getting hungry because it's their dinner time." Yuko's mind reels again at the mention of children. He hadn't seen any sign of them when he arrived, and the thought of sharing the house with Ayame's offspring only adds to his growing sense of unease. Yet he tries to push aside his fears, telling himself that there must be a logical explanation for everything. As the sound of footsteps fades away, Yuko tries to focus on the upcoming meal he expects to soon be laid before him. But his appetite has vanished along with his sense of safety. Little does he know, the true nature of Ayame's children is far more sinister than he could ever imagine. As Ayame's reassurances fade into the background, Yuko's heart races with unexplainable fear he cannot shake. Suddenly, the sound of pitter-pattering feet becomes louder, more urgent, echoing through the house like a haunting refrain. With a sinking feeling in the pit of his stomach, Yuko watches in horror as Ayame's children make their entrance, emerging from the shadows. They are not the human offspring he had envisioned, but monstrous spiders the size of small dogs. Each of their 8 legs skitter across the floors and walls with unsettling grace, their multifaceted eyes gleaming with hunger. Ayame's children were a grotesque fusion of human and spider, with multiple eyes gleaming from beneath a tangled mass of wiry hair. Sharp, pointed fangs protruded from their mouths, dripping with venomous saliva that glistened in the dim light. Their skin was pallid and translucent, stretched taut over angular bones and sinewy muscles that rippled with unnatural strength. From their backs sprouted a duster of spindly legs, each one tipped with razor-sharp claws that clicked menacingly against the floor as they moved. These appendages twitched and writhed with a life of their own, their movements eerily reminiscent of the arachnids from which they had descended. Frozen in terror, Yuko realizes the true nature of the danger he faces. He is not a welcomed guest in Ayame's house. He is prey, lured in by her seductive charms, only to become a meal for her monstrous offspring. As the spider creatures close in, their fangs dripping with venom, Yuko's survival instincts kick into overdrive. With a desperate cry, he bolts from the table, racing through the darkened halls in a frantic bid for escape. But Ayame's home is a maze of shadows and secrets, and with each passing moment, Yuko's chances of survival grow slimmer. Caught in a deadly game of cat and mouse, Yuko can hear the pitter-patter of countless feet behind him. As he rounds a corner, Yuko comes face to face with Ayame herself, her eyes gleaming with hunger as she watches his desperate flight. "I'm sorry, Yuko," she whispers, her voice a chilling echo in the stillness of the night. "But you were never meant to leave this place alive." As Ayame begins her transformation from human to spider, a wave of darkness washes over her, enveloping her form in shadow and obscuring her features from view. Her slender limbs contort and twist unnaturally, elongating and shifting with a grotesque fluidity that defies the laws of nature. Her skin begins to ripple and writhe as though alive, as hundreds of tiny hairs sprout from her flesh, covering her body in a thick, bristling coat. With each passing moment, her form becomes more and more distorted, her once human features contorting into something grotesque and monstrous. Her face elongates into a pointed snout, her mouth stretching wide to reveal row upon row of razor-sharp fangs that drip with venomous saliva. Her eyes multiplying until they cover her entire face, gleaming with a predatory intelligence. But perhaps most horrifying of all are the limbs that sprout from her back, stretching outwards in a grotesque parody of wings. These appendages twitch and move, their tips ending in razor-sharp claws that glint menacingly in the dim light. As the transformation nears its completion, Ayame lets out a haunting shriek that echoes through the darkness. When the darkness finally clears, all that remains is a monstrous spider, its 8 legs poised to strike with deadly precision. With a final agonized cry, Yuko lurches forward, his every muscle screaming in protest as he makes one final attempt to flee. But it's too late. Ayame lunges for him, and the jaws of her monstrous offspring close in around him, their venomous fangs sinking into his flesh. As the monster simultaneously consumed his life, Yuko felt like he had given up. He realized he had been too focused on wanting someone to be close to him, and he hadn't seen the truth about Ayame. He learned the hard way that giving in to what you want without thinking can be dangerous. As everything got darker around him, Yuko thought about how connections with others can be short-lived. He wished he had stayed true to himself, even if he felt lonely. As his life slipped away, he hoped others would learn from his mistakes and be careful not to fall into the trap of the Jorogumo. Thank you for listening to Freaky Folklore, the podcast about mankind's horrifying legends and myths. Don't forget to follow Freaky Folklore on Spotify and iTunes. If you can, leave the show an honest review on iTunes to help us grow. Freaky Folklore is part of the EerieCast Podcast Network, the home for listeners who love to feel scared. Go to EerieCast.com to find other terrifying podcasts, such as Destination Terror, hosted by me, Carmen Carrion. If you would like to submit an encounter or suggestions for future episodes, you can email them to CarmenCarrion@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter or Instagram. Until next time, stay safe out there, because this world is a strange one.